My husband, Jeff, and I have been married for 32 years. We raised two daughters and a son. But for 2 years, I wasn't sure how to answer the question, how many children do you have? You see, our son, Sergeant Dylan Naslin, completed suicide on December 10th, 2012. He was 25 years old. As a boy, he often used to get into my makeup and cover his face in camouflage. Dylan and his friends would run around the farm pretending to be army men. And it wasn't a surprise when our 17-year-old son wanted to enlist in the Iowa Army National Guard. But it was 2005. Our country was fighting on two major fronts. He would likely go to war. The recruiter sat at our kitchen table for a couple hours, and I wouldn't sign the papers, allowing Dylan to join. Finally, Dylan said, "Mom, you know I always wanted to go into the Army. Will you please sign? I'll turn 18 soon, but I really want your blessing." So I signed. He graduated from high school, and as expected, he deployed for a tour of duty in Iraq and then Afghanistan. When Dylan called home, he didn't want to talk about what he was doing and likely couldn't. He just wanted to know every little detail about life at home, a place with happy childhood memories of riding motorcycles, go-karts, four-wheelers, and going fishing with his dad. When he came back from Afghanistan in the fall of 2011, we expected Dylan would be different. After all, you can't go to war and not be changed. But there was no way to prepare for what would come next. He made it home safe, all seemed well. Weeks turned into months, and we noticed Dylan wasn't the same. Where was the fun-loving, charming, kind son that we once had? The boy with lots of friends? The daredevil who wasn't scared to try anything and often drove me crazy with worry? I was worried now, but for a different reason. Dylan struggled with transitioning back to civilian life. He had become suicidal. And he told us, "You don't know what it's like. The nightmares, the flashbacks, the things I've seen and done." He was eventually diagnosed with combat post-traumatic stress disorder. Finally, it had a name. We could deal with it. For the next few months, we thought Dylan was doing better. We were wrong. Dylan just got better at hiding it, and hiding his pain. One day, I got into an argument with him over finances. Dylan and I were very, very close. And he said to me again, "You just don't get it. You don't know what it's like." Well, that night I left his house, December 10th of 2012. He shot himself in the chest on a gravel road. Dylan thought he was alone in what he was going through. He wasn't. After his death, we learned that 20 veterans a day complete suicide. We also learned that there are services and organizations dedicated to helping veterans and their families. It was too late for Dylan and too late for us. But we wanted others to know there is help and there is hope. So 3 years ago, we teamed up with Howard and Jean Somers of San Diego. They also had lost their son to suicide. And we formed Operation Engage America, a nonprofit that connects veterans and their families to the resources they need. Not any one organization or resource is going to end this epidemic of veteran suicide, but together we can make a difference. Each year we host several events throughout Iowa, California, and other states, and we continue to expand into more communities, uniting veteran services under one roof for a day and bringing awareness to challenges our military men and women face when they come home. I don't want anyone else to go through what I have as a suicide loss survivor. After Dylan's death, I didn't want to leave the house for weeks, partly because of the stigmas surrounding the situation. Finally, I decided I should go to town, get a haircut, buy some groceries, do a little shopping. It was time. Right away, when I went to the salon, I saw some ladies whispering and one pointing to me, thinking I couldn't see. The next stop, Walgreens. Someone I know fairly well turned around as fast as she could when she saw me in one of the aisles. Next, the grocery store. The cashier's nervous, fumbling hands sent one item after another across the scanner. And I wondered if it was always going to be this way, people avoiding me at every turn, I just wanted to go home and cry. Well, thankfully, it was a 20-mile drive. By the time I got there, I decided to sit down and write this note on Facebook. When you see me in public, it's okay to say, "Hi, Lisa, how are you doing? I'm not going to melt." It's okay to say, "Sorry about your son. I'm not going to melt." It's okay to say, "I remember Dylan doing this or that. I'm not going to melt." It's okay to say, "I want to give you a hug. I'm not going to melt. I have been in your shoes before, but please don't hurry and turn around and get to the next aisle as fast as you can. Please don't stare. Please don't whisper after I walk by. That hurts. You're not going to say something stupid by just saying something. I hope this makes it easier for you all." Well, the next time I went to town, everyone I ran into did exactly as I had said. But that didn't stop my internal struggle. For about 2 years, I was haunted by the argument that Dylan and I had the day he died. After all, we were very close. I was overwhelmed by loss and feeling empty inside, feeling as though my God had abandoned me. After Dylan's death, someone felt the need to inform me, "You know he didn't go to heaven, don't you?" I kindly responded by taking her hand, gently patting it, and saying, "I believe the Bible says something about do not judge, lest ye be judged. Have a nice day." I walked away. She stood there with her mouth wide open. So my faith was shaken, but not broken. Yet at times, I couldn't help but wonder where we went wrong with Dylan. I blamed myself, thinking, if only he would have talked to me, if only I could have understood, maybe he would still be here. The truth is that we are not to be blamed for our loved one's suicides. I blame the PTSD and the depression. I place the responsibility on Dylan. But now I have a responsibility. That dark day in December, our family was changed forever. Looking back at the weeks and months after Dylan died, our poor daughters had lost their brother and surely felt as though they had lost their parents too. On one of those days when I was overcome by grief, our 4-year-old grandson came to visit. He showed up full of energy, ready to play with Gigi, the goofy grandma. But how could I play? He wasn't at our house for long when my sadness wiped the smile from his face. Thankfully, I had my wits about me and noticed. Looking at what was right in front of me, he deserved to have Gigi and his papa. Our daughters deserve to have their mom and dad. Folks, we have 3 children.
Lisa Naslin, director of Operation Engage America, shared her story at Oats Live Storytelling event earlier this month. Join us on Wednesdays to hear more. Next week...
Sometimes at night, I would go sit in the empty pews and stare up at the saints and pillars, trying to imagine a life different from the one I had always known.
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. It is produced by Siouxland Public Media. Our next event is 7 p.m. Friday, August 4 at B Yoga Studio in downtown Sioux City. The theme is Little Did I Know. Tickets are available at kwit.org. You can also listen to past stories online and learn more about Ode on Facebook. This story was produced with the support of the Images and Voices of Hope Restorative Narrative Fellowship. The music you're hearing was played live by Jesus Iniguez at the event. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Ellie Carson.
Well, life tasted sweet when I was a bad twin. Devil himself said, waving me by. Well, all of my tattoos, they were of no use. No monetary values have I. Ooh, won't be long till I belong. Ooh, won't be long till I belong. loves me tomorrow. Mean old tornado carries me off, pulls me from bed and bashes my head, carries me halfway across the globe. Belong.